and hello, but especially welcome to this hour. It is around noon, and this is WPKN 89.5, coming to you with a smooth rattle from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I am Bonnie Likes, here with engineer Sean Bigler, and we have netted another show. We've got a hefty dose of what's happening New Haven, and let me tell you, really assure you, things are still happening in New Haven and surrounding areas. Just because we're going through an epoch unprecedented doesn't mean, as I'm sure you're well aware, dear listener, that there's nothing on the collective stove. There is still culture and creativity in a rolling boil on several burners, but the sheen of that feast, if you will, is simply sporting a different hue. Venues, platforms, processes, and collaborations are just changing shape and form. And really, that's what humans are best at, right? We cope, we adjust, we spring up out of the dirt that later turns to flowers, and I do have some flowers to share with you this hour, for sure. In fact, Sean will work the sonic trowel for our first guest by bringing forth a much-loved local band. First up, we're chatting with the Alpaca Gnomes, their guitarist and lead singer specifically, but before I tell you a little bit more about who they are, let's take a listen to a cut off their album, 9. Here's Welcome Home with the Alpaca Gnomes.
Not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. Welcome home.
Somewhere out in the streets, you might see me in the nitty-gritty of New York City. You might see me on a mountain or somewhere down by the lake. I see you on the farm, my friend. Welcome home, for goodness sake. Welcome home. All my friends say welcome home. Someone down by the beach.
That's the Alpaca Gnomes with Welcome Home. They are a vibrant stomp and groove seven-piece original band hailing from the Black Rock section of Bridgeport, Connecticut. The Gnomes ensemble currently indeed features violin, electric and acoustic guitar, bass, drum, sax, and percussion. And the band often collaborates with visiting players at their live performances. The Alpaca Gnomes have built a loyal following of passionate fans, affectionately nicknamed Gnomies, catching the audience's collective delight with the donning of actual gnome hats as they perform on stage. Their first self-titled album was released in 2012, and since then the more recent 9. And we'll hear more about that collaboration and the creative process behind it and their plans to release more music in a moment. But in the days prior to COVID, the band never had a problem staying plenty busy, playing clubs, both national and down home, festivals, and all manner of gatherings, as they built their loyal following of Gnomies along the way. As with many of their contemporaries, they were booked for an August show at Cafe 9, but to no one's surprise, that's been postponed for the time being. But happily, as we engage the constellation of contributors to our local culture and beyond, with us today is Benny McCullough, lead vocalist and guitarist for the Alpaca Gnomes, and he'll give us an update on the band and what's been up for them lately. Benny, welcome to the show. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Hey, Bonnie, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So let's start by taking a look, actually, at what it's like to be a musician during the age of Corona. I know that can be a heavy question. And while it looks like the Cafe 9 gig in the future is in a holding pattern, the band recently did a live stream with Celebrate Shelton. Give us an overview of how you're all coping these days with the essentials of rehearsal and performance and songwriting and all that stuff. What's going on with you guys?
Yeah, it's definitely unique times that we're in. It came so suddenly. We were actually getting prepared for a sold-out show at Stage One at the Fairfield Theater Company, which was supposed to be on March 15th. Mm. And the show was still going on, and we were getting closer. And that 1 week before, it was just I'm a solo musician as well, so I was playing my regular gigs. And I just remember from Tuesday to Friday, the feeling I had going into these places changed drastically. Mm-hmm. And then the show got canceled, postponed. And, yeah. You know, we've been in this new world ever since. we talked about different ideas of things to do. Mm-hmm. I was doing some live streaming from my house in my basement. I was doing some solo stuff. Just to stay active, and I actually was able to connect with some wonderful people who still needed music during the stressful beginnings of this whole thing.
Yes.
As far as the band, we kept in touch, but we kind of obviously everybody was in a separate place, both physically and mentally. So we took a little break.
Yeah.
And it was it's difficult. We talked about doing some streaming, but with everybody being somewhere different, it was really, it was a lot of work to put together.
Yeah.
And you did not even know if it was going to work or be worth it. So we just kind of just took a little break. Obviously all our performances were canceled.
Yeah.
Except for we had one like private event that went through that was socially distanced, and we did that. And then the Downtown Sounds was something we were looking forward to. Being able to live stream the full band in the same room. And even that came with some struggles. It came off great. MK Devo did the audio, did the video and the audio, and he's super talented. He had like 8 or 9 cameras. And Celebrate Shelton puts on Downtown Sounds, which we play every year. And, they were gracious enough to have us. And it was really a wonderful time. But, it's been tricky.
No
doubt.
Definitely
tricky to get things done.
Yeah, and I trust that the individual physical health of each player is okay these days and has been all right.
Say that one more time.
Everyone's physical health in the band is okay
yes,
these days.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry, everyone's health is fine. We just have some family members who, a little immunocompromised, so we're extra careful.
Yes.
With our gatherings. So that's why we haven't even, even the live stream, we did it inside, but there was nobody there. But even that was a little, we had to go through some extra precautions to make it happen.
Right.
For everybody.
Right.
And then we're probably just going to take the rest of the summer off and just hope things get back to normal at some point.
Yeah. So Benny, let's talk about your sound. We played the cut just before you came on Welcome Home off your most
sure.
recent album with the mysterious title of the Roman numeral 9. Okay.
Yeah.
So first, why the Roman numeral 9 for the recent release? And does it have anything to do with a bass player by the name of Martin Van Buren Amidon the Ninth?
Yes, it most certainly does. So the album was completely recorded, and we were just putting some finishing touches on it and, overdubbing guitars and thinking of some other parts for certain songs. And we had played a show at Infinity Hall in Norfolk, Connecticut. This is going back 3 years. Unfortunately, a couple days after that, our bass player and dear friend Marty Amidon the Ninth passed away in a motorcycle accident. So we went we continued to play our shows that summer with help from friends filling in And we only had to cancel the week after, you know, for our mornings, our morning. And then we decided that it would be best if we got back out there as quick as possible. Because I know, you know, that's what Marty would have wanted as well. And the album just sat there. It was hard to listen to. It was, you know, knowing that, you know, that's all we had from him as far as that went musically, and we couldn't really change anything. We just sat on it for a while, and we put it out this past January, last January, and we did a album release show at the Wall Street Theater in Norwalk as a tribute to him, and we played the whole album, and it ended up being a beautiful night. And yeah, so that's where the title came from. It wasn't the original title. It was going to be Welcome Home or something along those lines. And we just felt like we got some fabulous artwork done by a friend of our violin players, Kimberly. It was a gift to the band, the artwork for each member of the band. And we were like, let's use that as the cover, and let's name it after Marty and leave it at that.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear about Marty's passing. I had no idea the language.
Thank you,
Bonnie. Well, you know, the language on the website, I can see why you guys left it kind of like, you know, unspoken. But very sorry to hear about that, and what a wonderful tribute that you've made, and memory and influence that he's had over you, obviously. So the band, the band, Benny, has such a warm stage presence with the actual donning of gnome hats and you also have an ongoing gesture of musical community. You know, you have guests come on board. That's kind of a theme for the band. Now, when you do that, is there a spontaneous jam when you have players, you know, interact with you, or is there a little bit of rehearsal beforehand, and do they get fitted for a gnome hat?
We, rehearsal is, they're few and far between. That's for sure. Everybody has families in just a crazy, crazy world. It's there's seven of us in the band now, and you know, it's difficult enough keeping the schedule going and keeping active. So we don't put a lot of pressure on that. We've been playing together long enough, even with some personnel changes, that you know, especially when we stick to the originals, we're in a good place as far as that goes. Yeah, we love to have our friend Patrick Shea play a kazoo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you heard on the first on the opening track.
Yes.
Welcome Home. I'm sure you heard the kazoo.
Yes.
That song was written for a fabulous group of people on this farm in Wolcott. It's called Spin Ray's Farm, and the band, the Kazoo Crew Family Band, which Pat is in, started on that farm, and just a great community and great people.
Wow. Nice. That sounds great. Hey, tell us about the basic lineup. Tell us who, so listeners can hear who plays what and who tends to write, and just give a general mashup of your personal influences.
Sure. So Mike Gargano is the rock. He's our drummer. We record at his studio at his house. Me and him have been working together for like 15 years. Kimberly is on the Kimberly Nordland Curtin is on the fiddle and flute.
Nice.
And she's just a fantastic talent and brings a whole lot of energy to stage. Matt Soom is our percussion player. He's a wonderful same thing, workhorse up there on the percussion with Mike. They lock in nice and tight. Chris Berry goes by CB. He's on guitar. Sings harmonies. So that was the original band with Marty on bass. That was the original six-piece lineup. And then we have Joe Bolero on bass. He's out of Shelton, Connecticut. He's toured with many, many bands, and he had played with us over the years. He had played filling on guitar for CB, or filling on bass for Marty, or added, you know, additional pedal steel guitar. So you know, he was a friend of the band for a while. And Adam Fachin, he's our sax player, and same thing. He sat in with the band many times over the years. He's also in the Kazoo Crew Family Band, and he's been a permanent member for a couple years now. Yeah, and it's just the gnome hats was a Kimberly's father makes them.
Ah.
By, by hand, and she had given me one as a birthday gift 1 year, a long time ago.
Sweet.
And we wore it, and it just became this thing. We didn't think people would wear them, and you know, it was just for fun. And then people started asking about them, and he started making more, and it turned into our most popular merch item. That's for sure.
Oh, undoubtedly, they're irresistible. Now, Benny, you were in another group before this one, Spiral City. Did Alpaca Gnomes kind of like spin out of that incarnation? How did your group kind of come from Spiral City, or is it just you?
That's a great question. Spiral City was myself, Mike Gargano on the drums, and Chris Berry on guitar, with another bass player. And we started, doing covers and a handful of originals. And then Chris moved away for work to Pittsburgh. So we just kind of like dissolved the band there. And me and Mike were writing a little bit, and he knew Marty, and we had Marty come in, and we were working on some songs. And then in that time period, I met Matt Soom and Kim, and the three of us started to play a little trio, and I was playing a little trio with Mike and Marty. And then we did an event for Chris Berry's family down at the beach in Fairfield, and we kind of put everybody together, and thus the band was born when he moved back here.
Wow, that's wonderful. And that happened in about, was it around 2012?
It was probably 2010, right around there, I believe. It's hard to remember that the exact time, but I think it was 2010. I think I looked through Facebook once.
Well, it certainly gives credence to the connection of the Alpaca Gnomes.
And, yeah, yeah.
And how much fun and creativity you're all doing and coming together. And now that it's even more challenging, I'm really curious, and you touched on this before, have you all managed as a group to sort of maybe schedule some recording and creating via the sharing of files and things like that? Or are people just doing their own solo songwriting and hopefully coming together to share that in kind of a convergence in some way?
Yeah. So we left off, and we've been playing, we've been playing some songs live that we haven't got out yet. And, so that's where we kind of left off. We had like four songs that we had recorded that weren't done. Mike was able to finish. We ended up putting out a song called Together We Can. And so that's out on iTunes and Spotify. And then we also finished a song called Figment, which is on SoundCloud, I believe. I don't think we put it out yet. And then there's two other songs that are sitting there. But no, Mike, we can't really get together in the studio due to the COVID.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like it hasn't been an option yet. We're kind of just taking it easy as far as that goes. We know we have those four songs. We were close to right before we got shut down. Kimberly has a song that we were working on. I have a couple others. I know Chris has been writing several that he shared that I've been trying to write some words for. And we're just kind of waiting until we can all get back together, and that'll probably be the first line of business. We'll be just starting to lay things down again.
I have to mention Kimberly, because I'd love to hear her background. How did she pick up her first violin? Do you know, or is that a mystery?
That's a great question. I don't think it's a mystery, and I probably should know more about this. I know she's been playing for a long time, and I know she's just so talented. So I think it was when she was young, because I know her daughters were playing for a little bit. She's from the Yukon area. Stores. Just super talented, almost irreplaceable.
Right. I mean, she adds a great dimension to the band, as you all do. Now, Benny, you are on lead vocals, right? By and large. You take care of lead vocals. Is
yes,
that right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
Right. And so did you sing a whole lot in the past history with, for example, Spiral City and before that, or was singing a wonderful new thing for you? Because it seems like you have a real natural bluesy rockin' voice. So I'm just wondering how long you've been a singer.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. It was something I was always into music. I played baseball in college, so I was always an athlete and always loved music. And when that kind of stopped, I joined in with some friends just messing around, and we had like heavy rock, heavy rock band. So I was doing more screaming than singing, but that was the first time I got on stage in front of people, and no instrument, just up there, and with just words, and I really loved it. And then I learned guitar over the last, you know, over that time period, the last 20 years or so, I've learned guitar, and it's definitely been a work in progress. I haven't taken lessons, but I've learned through trial and error, let's just say, over the years of, you know, how to use your voice, kind of like an instrumentalist would with your instrument.
For sure. And to save your throat, if you're, you know, gigging a lot, also to play an instrument while you're singing.
Well, when I learned the guitar, that was the first thing. I would play one string at a time because I didn't want to learn the guitar to play it like a soloist. I wanted to sing to it. So it only mattered if I could sing to it. So I took a slow approach, and I would just play on one string and just sing along from the very beginning.
Who are the guitar players that you have loved? Who has really influenced you?
Like acoustic, like I love Bob Dylan.
Okay.
I'm a Elliott Smith, Sublime, Bradley from Sublime. Those types of music were influential in me becoming a singer songwriter. And then I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. Was one of my favorites.
Oh yeah.
So, like, when we get to electric guitar, I love Mike McCready.
Yeah, for sure. We always love to hear things like that at WPCAN. The family tree of influences is always of interest. So, Benny of the Alpaca Gnomes, we want to thank you so much for coming on What's Happening New Haven today. And we really wish for the health of the nightclubs and all the venues so that you guys can play and create your sound. It's really important that we own our culture as much as we can right now. And we appreciate all the contributions that you've made personally, musically, and with your friends. Who are here still with us. So let us know. Tell us where people can keep up with you these days, the various platforms where they can find you.
Yeah, and I have to say that Kimberly is one of your biggest fans of WPKN, I must say.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave that out. She has all the swag, the hat, the coffee mug, you name it.
Nice.
She's a big supporter.
We love that. That's
yeah,
wonderful.
We have the website. We're posting things on Facebook or Instagram here and there.
Okay.
You know, after this, like I said, after this live stream, we kind of left it unanswered for a minute. We're just going to enjoy the summer with our families as best we can. And, you know, we'll get back to it soon enough. But I'm sure we'll be putting out some songs soon. And, you know, we're really thinking about all those venues, too. I mean, it's just such a curveball thrown to everybody. And you know, we hope that everybody's surviving the Cafe Nines. You know, we have friends over at Bryak who have been doing everything to keep things moving. You know, it's just such a tricky time for everyone. So they're in our thoughts as well.
It's really wonderful that you came on today, because we just need to keep these fires burning. And we really appreciate talking with you and hearing about your process and how the band is doing. So thanks for talking with me today, Benny. And we'll count on you and the Gnomes to keep on creating until we get through this thing.
Yes, and thank you for, that was a great analogy, keeping the fire burning for us too. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Bonnie.
Okay, take care. Here's another cut from the Alpaca Gnomes. This one is Together We Can.
We can all use a little help along the way. Believe in your dreams and turn your visions into reality. And don't let anyone stand in your way. I hear a lot of people say, you can't do it that way. That makes me want to reply, well, I've never seen you try.
That's Together We Can, delivered by the Alpaca Gnomes, and you can fetch more music with them by heading to their Facebook page. There, you'll see also a stream from Celebrate Shelton, and the Gnomes start their set around the 2-hour 31 mark, so you can dip in there and get down remotely. By the way, this is WPKN 89.5 FM, and thanks for giving your good energy to listener-supported radio with all the ways you show up, as we wouldn't be here if not for your kindness and generosity. So thanks so much for participating in this community, and we always enjoy giving you programming that feels good and is good. And we do have some tasty calendar bits to share. On August 17th, Monday at 7 p.m., Paul Brown Monday Night Series will be happening. The Hartford Jazz Society is presenting its second live streaming concert in the Paul Brown Monday Night Series from 7 to 8 p.m. The featured artist is saxophonist Dakota Austin and his quartet. Dakota's playing reflects the intense mentoring that he received from Reen McLean, Jimmy Green, Chris Allen, Andrew Beals, and many other key figures over the years. Recently graduating from Western Connecticut State University, Dakota continues to further his education at the Hart School and develop a musical voice that is truly his own, both as a saxophonist and composer. The performance can be accessed for free on the Hartford Jazz Society's Facebook page. Again, you're listening to WPKN listener-supported radio, and next on our Watch This Hour for what's happening New Haven and surrounding areas, we have another annual chat with Amy DeMauro, the official promoter for the fabulous summer festival Connecticut Localpalooza, brought forth by Adventures in Music Productions. Yes, indeed, great news that it is on this year. Amy has managed to line up not only tons of fun with safe, socially distanced workshops, yoga sessions, and other activities, but she has an amazing roster of bands going on stage. You can enjoy a real-life music fest with real live music. One reason why Localpalooza is going to be an assured success, that's Connecticut Localpalooza, is that as in years prior, Amy will be on with, and she'll tell us all about the great scenic venue. It will be held at the pastoral wide open spaces of the gloriously green Three Saints Park in Bethany, Connecticut on Saturday, August 29th. So without further spoilers from me, let's hear what Amy has to say for this year's Connecticut Localpalooza. Amy DeMauro, thanks for joining us today on the program. So, wow, what odd times these likely are for promoters, sponsors, and musicians. Tell us, Amy, what's been your arc of experience trying to get Localpalooza going this summer? What's been happening?
Oh, it's been a tough one for sure. Of course, we've had many challenges in the past also. We are generally a rain or shine event, and in the past we've had weather issues. We actually even had a tornado one year that went right through our park and had to postpone because of that. So we were very touch and go this year. We had already changed the date. We were always the third Saturday in May, and we had changed it to the second Saturday in June. So that was our first big change, other than we also had a name change this year. We went from Localpalooza to Connecticut Localpalooza. We originally couldn't use local. It was actually a trademarked name, so we went with Loca for all of the previous years, and local is a much better fit for us because that is what we focus on, our local music scene and artists and businesses. So we put the Connecticut in front of it, and we were a go
for sure.
So that was our first big change this year. And then again, the date change, we were supposed to do this in June, and with everything that has been happening, we decided to postpone. I still was a little bit on the fence. I wasn't sure even with the postponement it was going to happen. But with the new guidelines that have been set in Connecticut, we have more than enough space at Three Saints Park. There's just acres and acres there. So
fantastic.
We are ready to go. We are planning on staying within all the guidelines. We are planning on making sure we are set up for everybody to be socially distanced. The bands are excited. Everybody involved is really excited that we're able to do it. So
what is the official date?
The official date is Saturday, August 29th.
Wonderful. Okay. So for some nostalgia, so listeners can get a sense of how fun and community-oriented this event can be, Amy, how long have you been organizing the festival, and how and when did it all get started?
We're going into our sixth. This is our sixth festival. How did it get started? Well, I was very involved already with the Connecticut music scene as a promoter and a booking agent. And the time just came back in 2015 where I said, you know, we really need a festival that's just going to focus on our local music. And that first year, that's what it was all about. But of course, we have expanded quite a bit. We now have live painters that come and paint right there as the bands are playing. We have songwriting workshops, we have yoga. We highly encourage full fan, although we're a little different this year with what's happening in our world. We are family friendly, and we always encourage everybody to bring the entire family. Unfortunately, this year, because of what is happening, we won't be doing our kids area.
Okay.
Usually that is a big hit, and we do balloon animals and bubbles and hula hoops and arts and crafts with the kids. But given the times that we are in, we have decided this year it's probably not the best idea. So while we are still very family friendly, we're kind of encouraging the families to bring, you know, their own set of toys for the children.
Yes.
like a picnic in the park, as if you'd be going for a picnic in the park for the day.
Right. So I just took off Kids Corner from my list of questions. Yes. Understandably, because I was wondering how you were going to plan for that, but maybe it's best to just save it for next time. So Amy, do you tend to work with the same sponsors each year, and how are they coping these days? Are there some businesses who maybe aren't with us anymore, unfortunately?
This year's been a little more difficult. We do still have our partnering sponsor, who is Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Bethany. And they have been with us, I believe, since the second year. They've always partnered with us. They're wonderful. And we did lose a few, obviously, because a lot of the businesses had to be closed down for so many months.
Yeah.
But we're still moving forward. And Caloroso Eatery and Bar in Shelton will be with us again. Isn't this terrible? I can't think of who else. We just signed on with a group called Volunteers, hashtag It's What We Do.
Oh.
And their goal is to inspire folks to volunteer in their communities. You can check them out on Facebook.
Fantastic. That's great.
And who else do we have with us this year? I think that, and Special Events Screen Printing in East Haven.
Great.
They do, 4D Productions does all of our graphics, and we work with Special Events Screen Printing, and they do basically everything for us, our shirts, our banners, our decal, you know, anything, any type of thing like that we need.
Wonderful. Can't wait to check those out.
Yeah.
So now the fun part. Tell us about the lineup of music you've planned. Who is set to perform on the 29th?
We have a great lineup, and we have everything from, you know, we start out with a little acoustic in the beginning, singer-songwriter stuff. So we have a young man named Riley Johnson who will be kicking things off for us. I don't want to say it's definitely his first time playing out, but I'm pretty sure it may be his first big event that he's playing.
Exciting.
Just very talented. He's about 20 years old, so excited to have him.
How would you describe his sound?
He has so many influences. It's so hard for me to describe anybody's sound right now. I will say, if people check out our Facebook page, there are videos of all of the bands up, so everybody can get a feel for what we'll have on the stage.
Great.
So yeah, we have Riley kicking it off. We have Shannon McMahon, singer-songwriter. She'll be doing a solo set.
Wonderful.
Seth Adam, who's very well known in the state of Connecticut. He'll be playing with his trio.
Excellent.
Anne Marie Menta.
Super.
With her band. She'll be doing full band. The Forgotten by Friday.
Oh, nice.
John Spicknese Band. Hiawatha. who I'm very excited for this year. He's going to be great. And Haunting Titans will be closing it out for us.
Magnificent. Sounds like a real effervescent lineup.
Yeah.
That sounds super fun.
Yeah.
And you always
we try to mix it up. We don't want just one type of music there. We want to, you know, we want everybody to be able to enjoy. So.
And it's impressive that everybody's going to be there, you know, in this long, beautiful line of all these different styles and influences. It'll be great. So
yeah.
And you always, Amy, you always plan such a nice list of events, as you touched on before. Now, how are you dealing with measures of social distancing? Is there a plan for volleyball, yoga, songwriting workshops, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's funny. My yoga teacher, when I asked her, I said, do you think it's still a good idea? Should we still offer the yoga? She said, yoga's social distanced anyway.
So, right.
So she was more than enough for it.
That's true.
We do that down by the pond at Three Saints. We have a very nice area there by the pond that she does that and sets up. So there's plenty of space there for people to bring their yoga mats and space themselves out. The songwriting workshop, we will be, you're required to sign up for that. So we will have time to set that up so people are distanced from each other while they're in that smaller pavilion taking the songwriting workshop. We also will be running a couple of acoustic acts between the main stage acts out of that area, but people will be able to see them from the field. So we have a couple of solo duo acoustic acts there too later in the day. It's a tough one, but we have the guidelines. I'm impressed with what they are doing in the state. I think they've been doing a great job with trying to contain everything. And we will have spots marked for people to set up so that everybody is distanced enough. We will have a smaller capacity in our main stage pavilion, but the music is heard all over the park. So
beautiful.
Hear things no matter where they are.
That sounds great. So what about the wearing of masks? I'm Connecticut, the numbers are low, and we're so grateful for that. But since you're outdoors, is there just areas where that's more recommended?
We are. It is not mandated for the entire time you were there, as long as you are socially distanced. It's 15 feet blanket to blanket when you set up with your family or your party that you come in with. We will be asking for masks when people come in. We are encouraging actually people to buy in advance, so that will be less contact with my people at the gate when attendees come in. Yes, we will require masks on entry. We will require them until you get to your spot. Once you're on your spot, as long as you're with your people that you came with and your family, you are welcome to take them off. We will need them on if you can't be 6 feet away from others. We will need them on if you're going in to use the restrooms, things like that. Getting food, buying merchandise, obviously we will want you to have masks on. But certainly it's a long day and it's not easy to have a mask on that whole time. So,
Right.
Everybody of course has a different comfort level, but we will have our eyes open as far as the social distance thing goes as well.
Yeah. So what type of feedback have you been absorbing as a promoter from those who've chosen to participate? Did any change their minds along the way, or are most feeling comfortable full speed ahead?
Most have been comfortable. I do have a couple of my staff that probably are not going to be with us this year.
Yeah.
They're not at that point yet where they're ready to be around too many people. We'll see how the attendees, I did get a couple that said, well, I don't think I can attend. And that's fine. I completely understand that. I'm actually working now on the possibility of live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are probably going to try to go that route. I'm waiting to hear back from somebody on that, if I have somebody to run a live stream for the day or not. I'm working more also on contactless payment if people do not buy in advance, to do that at the gate for admission. And, you know, we're doing the best we can.
Yes.
I'm actually going to be at the park this afternoon. We're going up to do one more site walk to kind of assess everything. We were there a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to go do the same, do a little walkthrough and see what we have. But, you know, there's a lot of space up there, so we're lucky. We're lucky we have it. I've been seeing a lot of the towns still doing their summer concerts, and we have much more space than most of the town greens. So
there you go. A beautiful kind of pastoral setting, and it sounds actually healthy, doesn't it?
yes.
So,
and I think people are, you know, not everybody, I will say, as I said, everybody's comfort level is different with what's going on in the world, but many people, I think, are ready to get out and you know, do a little dancing and listen to a little live music.
And get some of those UV rays that are supposed to be very good for us.
And so, it's just a nice day in the park, really. It's a nice day in the park.
Yeah. How do you select acts and artists? What is the best way interested performers and artisans and creators can submit their work to you?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough every year. And because we're only a one-day event and I can really only fit 8 to 9 acts, it gets hard. I do have a waiting list. I have a list of people that have reached out and said, oh, can I be a part this year? And, you know, sometimes they have to wait a couple of years before I can get them in.
Right.
But the best way to reach me is through email. My email is aim@aimproductions.rocks. And reach out. I do listen to everybody. I do try to get out and see everybody that I book live at some point also before booking them.
How fun.
But I at least, you know, if you send me your music, I give you a listen and see if I can fit you in depending on what we have and who we have and who I have on a waiting list and all of that.
Sounds great. Amy, now I just want to touch on what about you? I'm very curious, and I think our listeners would like to hear too. What is life like for a promoter these days specifically? Do you find that you've been actually much busier now than before COVID all began?
I haven't actually.
I was wondering if it added more detail to your work.
It's been hard. You know, a lot of the places were just closed down for months, so there was music that was canceled or postponed, or, you know, they gave preference, of course, when they reopened to those that they had booked that they had to cancel in the previous months. So I haven't been doing much. I do happy hour music usually 2 days a week at Caloroso, who's what I mentioned earlier, one of our sponsors. But we have put that on hold right now. I believe maybe in beginning of August we might bring that back. But they've also been doing some work on the restaurant, on the outdoor space. So we haven't brought it back just yet, but we're hoping that will happen soon. And other than that, I do have a couple of bands that I represent that will be playing up at Stone Gardens Farm, actually one this Saturday and one next Saturday. They have been going ahead with their music series up there outdoors. Originally, when they started, it was just Facebook Live. And now they are allowing the bands in front of the farm stand. So a couple of my bands will be up there the next couple of weekends.
Fantastic.
But other than that, I haven't had too much going on other than working on the festival and, you know, scrambling to make sure we're staying within all our guidelines.
Now, you mentioned happy hour music. Is that something you host? You've hosted? Or are you?
I work with the restaurant and I book the music.
Oh, I see.
For them. And
I see.
Usually do the promotional stuff. So
that can't be occurring outdoors these days, huh? It has to be on hold because it was indoor.
It was on hold. Normally we always did it indoors. It will return and be outdoors, I believe, in August. I'm still kind of waiting on the go ahead to bring my bands back. But I believe we will be doing outdoors. They've been doing some construction. They expanded their patio and they actually built an upper level on their patio. So I think we'll be doing music out there when we return.
I'm really curious about how musicians are dealing with this, and you have an inside track to that, Amy. Now, have you found that there's been some despondency about not being able to get together and rehearse for a long time and not playing venues? It's really hard to watch some of the nightclubs postponing and canceling and all that
and
stuff.
And some have just been shutting down. You know, it's kind of sad because it was a hard, it's hard, I think, to run a music venue to begin with. But in, at times like these, you know, when you can't really do much, you know, a lot of them have just been announcing that they can't reopen. But I've been seeing a lot, you know, especially up on our shoreline, a lot of those places have outdoor space and they've been bringing the music back. I know some of it's been hard on a lot of the musicians. I know many musicians that's all they do. That's their living.
Yes.
And, you know, they've been out of work. So it's been very difficult. And then I know other musicians that, you know, they gig and they also have a full-time day job. And so they're not too bad about it.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians took to the Facebook Live or doing live streams in general, wherever on their YouTube channels or whatever they could do. But, you know, that's hard too, because they're asking for donations and tips that way. And they're not necessarily making the money that they would be making if they were playing out live to an audience. And it's a whole different feel because they're playing in front of an audience, but they're really not, you know?
Yes. Well, that's why this festival, Connecticut Localpalooza, is so important and really such a supportive thing for everyone to get together and do. And of course, artisans are probably, you know, really used to using the online marketplace and just doubling up on their marketing with that, I imagine.
Yes.
So, yeah. Amy, thank you so much for being with us and giving us the lowdown this year. It's been such a crazy summer and spring overall, but it's exciting that people can come to this wonderful event that you planned, Connecticut Localpalooza. And where can they check in and just get the latest updates and check out the lineup?
Just search for us on Facebook. It's CT Localpalooza.
Fantastic.
And you do a search on social media and you'll find us, or they can search for Adventures in Music Productions. We actually don't have an Instagram page for the festival, so just Adventures in Music Productions for our Instagram.
Wonderful. Is there any closing comment or wish that you have for listeners relative to
You know, I hope everybody comes out. I hope everybody feels comfortable enough to come. As I said, we are working hard to stay within all guidelines. We are working hard on the social distance stuff. And, of course, our first thing is safety. You know, we, as I said, a couple of years ago, we had a tornado that tore through the park. And we, of course, had to postpone for that. And it's a difficult decision for me as a producer of the event to, you know, have to do things like that, but we always keep safety in mind. And again, if things change in the state and we wind up having to cancel, the Facebook page is the best place to find that. And again, I encourage people, if they want to be with us, to buy in advance so that we have much less contact at the gate when they come in.
Wonderful. So we look to August 29th for a convergence of safety and fun. Amy DeMauro, thanks for all you do, and we hope to talk with you next year as well. Have an amazing event. We look forward to it.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too.
Here now is a sample of one of the bands lined up for Connecticut Localpalooza. This is Zilliwatt with Joe Genius.
Passengers for city in the back. But one fact they could not ignore: he had an IQ of 194. academic connoisseur, a basic social greasy sea dealer. But don't ever believe it, well, you see how fast it counts to tell. Everyone dislikes him, but statistically Joe Paul's a genius.
That's Zilliwatt, set to take the stage at Connecticut Locapalooza, August 29th at Three Points Park in Bethany, Connecticut. And we've got another tasty calendar bite to share with you. Kayla Liddell Gallery at 873 Whaley Avenue in New Haven presents I Am, the fourth annual juried show featuring the work of 71 local and regional artists. The gallery will be open by appointment as well as limited hours, and the theme of this collection goes like this. How do you see yourself? How do others see you? What makes you, you? From selfies to personal branding to the complexities of identity politics, our carefully crafted personas are routinely broadcast to the world via the internet. And the modern world revels in the revelation of the semblance of self, allowing us to conceal as much as we reveal. In this age of unprecedented exposure, how can an artist offer some fresh statement of self? These were some of the questions posed in this year's call to artists for I Am, the fourth annual juried show at Kayla Liddell Gallery. The collection contains work in a wide variety of media and styles, from more traditional and not so traditional self-portraits. As we all continue to navigate the world of social distancing, it feels ever more poignant to gather this collection of selves of I Am to create a powerful, revelatory voice of We Are. Also at KLG, August 13th and Friday, August 14th, 4 to 7 p.m., you can have a lovely evening, beginning at the Kayla Liddell Gallery at 873 Whaley Avenue, and make it a double date. Grab your love or your friend and hit the village. First, the assistant director at KLG will meet you at the gallery to tour the current show, and you'll walk away with a few mementos of the experience. Next, you'll head over to Monjeres Bar Tapas, where mixologist Alex Montes will offer his art-inspired cocktail, non-alcoholic also available, as well as one tapas al fresco. And if this weren't enough, Kayla Liddell Gallery, an art econ initiative, hosts the weekly Salon Thrive every Sunday at 5 p.m., August 2nd through August 30th, a virtual gathering place for art discussion and discovery on the Zoom platform. Each episode features a different local Connecticut-based artist or host broadcasting live from their studio, and all who log on and gather round have the opportunity to explore the artist's studio, their work, ideas, and influences in an intimate and unique studio backdrop. During the show that's now on display titled I Am, a different gallery artist will facilitate discussion each week with 2 to 3 of the guest artists in that show. Visit KaylaLiddellGallery.com for all details. Looks like this here perpetual motion machine of What's Happening New Haven is ready to touch down now. It's been a pleasure sharing goings-on in the area, and we hope you can enjoy some of what's been presented here this hour. We'll be back with you next month, the very first Monday at noon, and this program is always posted as a podcast. You can visit the SoundCloud platform right on the WPCAN website, where you'll see plenty of other programmers archived there as well, along with live radio streams happening all day, every day. Please do your best to stay safe and well. We send you sunny wishes and glowing good health. Please have a beautiful August ahead, and we'll be with you next month.
Thank you. Oh,